America will change our strategy to help the Iraqis carry out their campaign to put down sectarian violence and bring security to the people of Baghdad. This will require increasing American force levels. So I've committed more than 20,000 additional American troops to Iraq.
Catapult of propaganda.
Industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency. Take the red pill.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody. Welcome to January the 11th, Thursday, the day after the speech that was.
President Bush delivered his new plan for Iraq last night, and it was pretty much what we expected, an increase in troops. But as always, we look beyond the obvious.
We do.
And we're going to spend the next half hour. Sharon had the opportunity today to analyze the speech in detail, and we're going to spend the next half hour going through the speech and looking for the real meaning behind the words that flowed.
So here's what we recommend you do. We're going to link in the show notes to the Watcher magazine post where I have the entire text. I struggled this morning, struggle being an operative word,
yes,
as to whether or not I was going to post anything. You know, every talking head, every column had something, and they're still going on and on. They will all week.
Yeah.
I decided not to. I decided instead to just give you the text, and I took the text. And I want you to look through this as you listen to this show, and then look through yourselves. And if you find something we have missed, let us know.
Or if you disagree with the analysis that we've
and
that
it's
we
likely
put
you will, because let's face it, you get 10 people in a room and you'll get probably 10 opinions.
Or 12, maybe.
Yeah, sometimes 15. But then that counts the dogs, and we're not going there.
Well, the president began, and in the very first full sentence, used a word that probably slipped past most of us, but is very significant in Arabic. The armed forces of the United States are engaged in a struggle that will determine the direction of the global war on terror. Struggle?
Struggle is Arabic for jihad.
Well, English for jihad.
Sorry. English for jihad.
Yeah.
It's also English for Kampf.
Yeah, as in Mein Kampf. So that is a significant word, and it's used three times in the speech.
And three being, of course, as we've learned, it's an important number. He talks about the struggle, as we said, three times. So he's setting this up. He says our safety here at home depends on this. He says that the struggle will determine the direction of the global war on terror.
Now, what does he mean by that? Does it mean the outcome of what's happening in Iraq? No, globally. The global war on terror.
Well, he's saying what happens in Iraq, though. Whole sentence.
Yes.
Tonight in Iraq, the armed forces of the United States are engaged in a struggle, a jihad, a holy war, that will determine the direction of the global war on terror and our safety here at home. In other words, pay attention, people. If you don't let me do this, we're going to have lots of problems here at home. Terrorism is coming to your doorstep.
And the direction of the global war on terror indicates to me that this ultimately will lead other places on the globe.
Exactly. Yeah. And he expands on that as we go along. But let's just say, first of all, he dressed in a very subdued manner.
Yeah.
He stood in the library used by Jimmy Carter when he used to give speeches.
His subdued manner. His blue tie is a little out of character. Normally, he would wear something with a little brighter, a red tie. So it was a little different. These things are all coordinated by image consultants and policy wonks who want to carefully craft. Yeah,
I love that policy wonks.
Yeah, who want to craft the message that the image that's being portrayed.
Yes.
He was very somber to convey a sense of gravity.
He almost appeared contrite.
Almost.
Almost. Not really contrite, but as if he truly felt uncomfortable.
Which he probably did.
Which he probably did. He refers in the next paragraph to the elections of 2005 being a stunning achievement. He says, we thought that these elections would bring the Iraqis together, and that as we trained Iraqi security forces, we could accomplish our mission with fewer American troops. I have a note here saying, big, fat lie. He's been escalating the troop count over and over and over again.
And it was known going in. It was proposed early on, even before we went in, that the best course of action would be to fracture Iraq into three separate states.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what? It sort of reminds me of, now this isn't the best metaphor, but it's what comes to mind. If you've ever driven a stick and you're stuck in a snowbank,
mm-hmm.
you know, one way to get out is to rock back and forth.
Right.
Surge forward, fall back.
Mm-hmm.
Surge forward, fall back. Eventually that surge will get you over the snow. Is this what he thinks he's doing? And in the process, is he battering at what could be a cohesive country if we just left? Now, I'm not saying it would be.
Right.
I'm not saying that. But I agree with you. I think that the intention all along has been, let's figure out some way
mm-hmm.
that we can get sectarian violence
right.
started up.
Because right.
we want three regions, tripartite.
Yeah, because they will be less likely to withstand the demands and influence of the multinational oil companies,
mm-hmm.
which, as we mentioned the other day, are proposing a really sweet deal when it comes to divvying up Iraq's oil wealth.
Which is hilarious, because later in the speech, he actually says that some of the oil money is going to go to the Iraq people.
Mm-hmm, yeah. What's left after ExxonMobil, Chevron, Texaco, et al. Will take
yeah.
their 20%
it's
cut
like
off the top.
It's like a tax rebate we used to get.
yeah. So the president continues that in 2006, the violence, especially in Baghdad, kind of overwhelmed and tore down the progress, destroyed the progress that had been made with the free elections in 2005. Al-Qaeda terrorists, Sunni insurgents recognized the mortal danger that Iraq's elections posed for their cause. Now,
let's see. Al-Qaeda terrorists, Sunni insurgents.
We note once again, for the record, that British Special Forces, SAS troops, were arrested in Basra in Arab garb with explosives,
mm-hmm.
apparently posing as militants loyal to Iran
mm-hmm.
who were trying to stir up trouble. We know that the Brits busted those fellows out of jail, releasing about 150 other prisoners the Iraqi police had captured for other offenses while they did this. What other events like this have taken place where the guys didn't mess up and get caught?
Well, exactly. There have been a number of events where the reported attackers
mm-hmm.
wore police uniforms, Iraqi police uniforms.
Yes. It's hard to know that who the good guys are, because they're often as not wearing the uniforms of the police. Death squads being sent out by the Ministry of the Interior, apparently that's the charge anyway,
mm-hmm.
Have people terrified to leave their homes and leave their neighborhoods, mm-hmm. at least their enclaves where they feel safe, because the guys who are dragging people off and making them disappear are, as often as not, wearing official uniforms, either more often than not the police, but sometimes even military uniforms. The The trigger for the sectarian violence apparently was the destruction of the Al-Askari Mosque in Samarra on February 22nd of 2006. Of 006, which of course is another 222. Was that destroyed by Al-Qaeda? Al-Qaeda is usually blamed for it. Or was this another op in which guys dressed like Arabs actually went in
exactly.
and blew up the mosque?
What bothers me a lot about this is no one was killed in the explosion.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the purpose of the explosion? And the guards were gagged and tied, but not killed.
Mm-hmm. If they were going to blow up the mosque, why did they, you know, why did they care? If their purpose mm-hmm. was to incite sectarian violence and a lot of death, why were they careful going in? It seems mm-hmm. a little odd.
Exactly. I mean, let's say the guards were insiders, that they were in on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then what sense does that make?
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense if you're assuming that an enemy is coming in to stir up sectarian violence, and the guards were in on it, and they didn't get killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out who benefits, you know, cui bono, who gains.
Well, that's just it.
Was it truly Al-Qaeda? I mean, Al-Qaeda is Sunni, and the Sunnis only make up 30% of the population in Iraq.
This whole thing was to get the Shias mad.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a very, very holy site.
Right.
In Shia Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Iran is Shiite.
Yep.
Syria is Shiite.
Syria is Sunni.
Sunni, sorry.
Iran,
there are a lot of Shiites in...
Iran, Iraq, and Bahrain are about the only places in the Middle East where the Shiites make up a majority of the population.
That's right. That's right.
And Bahrain is also ruled by a Sunni minority.
I'm laughing because we actually stopped it to try to talk about it for a minute because I always think of Hezbollah being the ones who run Syria, and it's Shia.
Yeah, and Hamas also operates out of Damascus, and it is Sunni.
So stop, we're both right.
Yeah, being a division of the Muslim Brotherhood. Syria's government is secular, nominally Sunni. They cooperate with Iran out of mutual interest where Israel is concerned, pretty much.
Yeah.
But the other Sunni governments in the region, Saudi Arabia and Egypt in particular, are not happy with the growing influence of Iran in Iraq and in Lebanon.
No, not at all.
Lebanon,
right.
Yeah, Lebanon had more or less been a satellite state of the Saudis until Hezbollah came in and began exerting its influence there. The Saudis, and this leads back to Egypt and Hosni Mubarak's comment about developing nuclear weapons the other day. They don't want to see a Shiite crescent, if you will,
mm-hmm.
from Iran through Iraq over into Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
Because their influence would be tough to counter.
Well, the irony is with Saddam Hussein in there, that wasn't going to happen.
It wasn't going
to happen.
Exactly. It's just a real mess, and it has been, and it's a mess partly of our own creation. On the other side of the coin, there's the not getting too far afield here, but
I was going to say we got a long way to go, so
all right.
We can't go too far afield.
Let's get back to the text of the president's speech.
After the next paragraph begins, the situation in Iraq is unacceptable. Well,
mm-hmm.
he says where mistakes have been made, the responsibility rests with me. Sort of, the buck stops here.
Sort of,
okay,
yeah.
So he's invoking the ghost of Harry Truman.
Yeah, he's saying where mistakes have been made.
I didn't make them, but okay, I know that.
Yeah, and I'm not admitting that.
You're going to blame me for it, but okay. Next paragraph. We consulted members of Congress, they did, from mm-hmm. both parties, our allies abroad, and, I like this, distinguished outside experts. My question is, who are these experts, and what companies are they running?
Yeah, or is he talking about the Baker study group?
Well, exactly.
Sandra Day O'Connor.
But
she
he mentions those next. I mean, he says
oh, that's right. Yeah, they're mentioned separately.
The thoughtful recommendations of the Iraq study group, of bipartisan, blah blah blah. He mentions everybody in here except James Bond, which I'm sure is going to come up somewhere. He says failure in Iraq would be a disaster for the United States. I do agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry we are there, but once you're there, you have to play
to win.
Play the hand you're dealt.
Yeah, and you got to play to win.
The consequences of failure are clear. Radical Islamic extremists would grow in strength and gain new recruits, he says. Our enemies would have a safe haven from which to plan and launch attacks on the American people. Our enemies would have a safe haven.
Mm-hmm.
So who are these enemies that would go into Iraq? And for the safety of our people, America must succeed in Iraq. He invokes September 11th. Who are the enemies that would go into there? Well, I think it's pretty clear. It's the Shias from Iran.
Right.
And possibly Afghanistan
mm-hmm.
or Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting that Saddam, being a secular and a Sunni primarily, was not well thought of by the guys in Al-Qaeda.
No.
And again, we have to question, and we don't support Saddam, and I'm not sorry to see him go, and I'm not sorry that he is no longer with us, but he was keeping a lid on things
mm-hmm.
over there.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, he was keeping a lid on the persecution of the Christians, half of Iraqi's Christians have apparently fled the country.
Well, that's a really good point.
Anyway.
And strangely enough, before this is all done, we will mention Christianity. We're going to have to hurry up here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't mention everything, sadly. I may have to skip on to some other stuff. He talks about sectarian violence and the national police that the Iraqi government will deploy. This is the new plan.
Mm-hmm.
Iraqi army and national police, not local police,
mm-hmm.
national police, Gestapo, if you will.
Some of the ones who've been wearing the uniforms and dragging people off to their doom.
Uh-huh. There will be 18 Iraqi Army and National Police Brigades. Of course, 18 is 666.
Uh-huh.
That may just be a coincidence. He says there will be patrols, checkpoints, and going door to door to gain the trust of Baghdad residents.
Yeah, like the guys with automatic weapons went door to door to gain the trust of residents in New Orleans after Katrina.
Mm-hmm, I know.
Yeah.
I'm imagining that sort of thing going mm-hmm. here at home and how we'd react to that. But for it to succeed, our commanders say the Iraqis will need our help. So we need to send 20,000 additional troops, actually sending 21-something.
Mm-hmm.
These troops will work alongside Iraqi units, and I'm reading highlighted portions here, by the way. If you want a copy of the document that, as I've highlighted it, you're welcome. Just send me a note. I'll email it to you. These troops will work alongside Iraqi units and be embedded in their formations. And he says, skip down a little bit, this time we will have the force levels we need to hold the areas that have been cleared. This time Iraqi and American forces will have a green light to enter these neighborhoods. What has been the problem in the past is he'll clean up an area and then we move out and bad. It's like cleaning up the house of demons and then they move mm-hmm. back in. I'm not so sure that that's going to get our troops out ever.
No. Which, as we've said before, is not the plan. We don't believe for a minute that we're going anywhere.
No, it isn't.
We've got way too much invested in the super bases that have been constructed there and that huge embassy. You've got to, you know, we're going to be there for a long, long time.
I know.
Yep.
I know. And then he warns us, of course, that we're going to continue to see really nasty stuff on our television screens.
Yeah, our enemies.
I know. And then he says this, that the Iraq government plans to take responsibility for our security in all of Iraq's provinces by November.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Well, you know, these plans have been tried before. We've tried cracking down on Baghdad at least twice within the last year, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
The problem is that the sectarian and tribal loyalties run much higher than loyalty to a central government mm-hmm. in Baghdad.
You know, skipping down several other parts, Derek, if you go down to... it's on page 4. As we make these changes, we will continue to pursue al-Qaeda and foreign fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the foreign fighters?
Well, clearly those would be the people
he's saying al-Qaeda,
mm-hmm.
whose home base, he says, is Anbar province. And he talks about having to send in additional troops, another 4,000 to Anbar.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, Haditha is in Anbar.
Right.
Haditha is one of the biggest black eyes we've gotten over there as far as the way our troops behaved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the very next paragraph is one of the key paragraphs of the entire speech. Succeeding in Iraq also requires defending its territorial integrity and stabilizing the region in the face of extreming challenges. This begins with addressing Iran and Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Iran is providing material support for attacks on American troops. We will disrupt the attacks on our forces. We will interrupt the flow of support from Iran and Syria, and we will seek out and destroy the networks providing advanced weaponry and training to our enemies in Iraq. Hello? This amounts to a declaration of a widening of the war.
It's a line in the sand.
Yeah.
A big, fat line in the sand. We will interrupt the flow of support from Iran and Syria, and we will seek out and destroy the networks that are providing advanced weaponry and training to our enemies
mm-hmm.
in Iraq.
Yep.
He's saying Iran is training people in Iraq. He is saying they are our enemies within Iraq, and so
mm-hmm.
by being in Iraq, we are going to be fighting Iran.
This fits with what Patrick Buchanan wrote yesterday
mm-hmm.
In a column in which he says that while the world is turning its attention to what is going to happen next in Iraq, this administration is turning its attention toward Iran.
And he says, we will expand intelligence sharing and, get this,
mm-hmm.
deploy Patriot air defense systems to reassure our friends and allies.
Now, last time I checked, neither the Sunni insurgents nor the Shiite militia in Iraq possessed missiles that the Patriot would make the Patriot necessary.
Yeah, we're not taking those Patriots door to door as we knock on them.
No, no. Who has those missiles? Well, that would be Iran.
Mm-hmm. He says it's to keep them from gaining nuclear weapons and dominating the region. Now, don't forget that Israel is not out. They are rumored to have a plan in place.
Mm-hmm.
To use bunker busters if necessary.
Two Israeli fighter squadrons have been training up and down the length of the Mediterranean, flying as far as Gibraltar and back. And as one observer said, we really don't expect the Israeli Air Force to attack Gibraltar.
You know, there's this paragraph coming up, Derek, where he uses struggle again, and it's just about as close as he's coming to saying this is a religious war.
Yeah, it is the decisive ideological struggle of our time. And mm-hmm. again, jihad, Mein Kampf, mm-hmm. It is... a phrase that doesn't carry as much weight to us in English as it would to a listener to the translation in Arabic.
Exactly. A hopeful alternative to the hateful ideology of the enemy by advancing liberty across a troubled region. Now, remember that phrase liberty because it comes up again later.
Mm. Skipping down, victory in Iraq will bring something new in the Arab world, a functioning democracy that polices its territory, upholds the rule of law, respects fundamental human liberties, and answers to its people. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Iraqi parliament voted to make Sharia law part of its constitution.
It did.
And Sharia is not exactly a...
democracy in any way, shape, or form.
No.
Which we're going to have to talk about. May not get to it this week, but next week, because I discovered today that there is an organization here in the United States that is Sharia law, and it covers a lot of territory.
Mm.
In fact, they are now inspecting how food is prepared in fast food restaurants.
Interesting. Yeah, it is. That raises the question of what exactly we've created. Again, I point to the number of Christians that have fled the country in fear of their lives mm-hmm. because of the way they're treated now under this new Islamic government.
Well, we need to keep going. Joe right. Lieberman's name is brought out to represent the bipartisan nature.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Lieberman, who really, you know, he's very moderate.
Dino. Democrat in name only.
Yes, I love that. He's the one, and of course he's probably going to be running for president again. So this is his little way, President Bush's way of plugging for his friend, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He says that he and other key members of Congress will form a bipartisan working group. Here's the thing. He says, we can begin by working together to increase the size of the active Army and Marine Corps so that America has the armed forces we need for the 21st century. Let me say that again. Increasing the size mm-hmm. of the active Army and Marine Corps. In other words, we need a bigger military.
Got a bigger empire to defend.
And he says we also need to examine ways to mobilize talented American civilians to deploy overseas.
That's a bizarre statement.
Isn't it?
Talented civilians to deploy overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Is he talking about contractors, in air quotes?
Or, one would think so, because they're there, but I don't know. He said that right after he talked about active Army and Marine Corps.
Yeah, that is really an interesting phrase.
And of course, we've got the Charlie Rangel bill, which is there every year.
He was interviewed again today by national media about... why he's introduced that mm-hmm. draft bill.
We're really running low. The last thing I'm going to mention, and again, if you need this document, you want it, you can. He talks about the author of liberty. He says, we go forward with trust that the author of liberty will guide us through these trying hours. And in the end, he says, history has an ebb and flow. No, sorry.
That's his last statement.
It is. Now, here. This is from his second inaugural speech. He says, when our founders declared a new order of the ages,
Novus Ordo Seclorum,
when soldiers died in wave upon wave for a union based on liberty, when citizens marched in peaceful outrage under the banner Freedom Now, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Almost messianic, right?
Yeah.
History has an ebb and flow of justice. But history also has a visible direction set by liberty and the author. This author is capitalized in this text, author of liberty. He said that in his second inaugural speech. Folks, that is a quote from the last stanza of America, the song America. Our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. This is his nod, nod, wink, wink to the right, to the dominionists.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I'm doing this. And if David Duncan is right, he's setting us up.
We point you to David Duncan's website, the newworldorderscam.com, for an explanation of just what
I
meant by that. When this backfires, as we think it will, ultimately there will be a price to be paid, and the rest of the world will demand their pound of flesh, not just from George W. Bush, but from those who elected him and voted to keep him in power, the conservative Christian base, Christian in air quotes again, who believed that they were electing a man of like mind and like faith. That is a very significant, and I commend you for taking the time to go through all this today, because there is an awful lot here. The author of liberty, but again, that reference to New Order of the Ages, which is from the poem by Virgil, from which the phrase Novus Ordo, Ordo Seclorum is drawn.
There are a lot of things in that song, America, that have always kind of bothered me. They never really felt quite Christian. So I'll do a little more research. But if you want this document, again, just write to me. I'll be glad to send it to you. It's Sharon at peeringintodarkness.com. It's a Word document. There is so much in there. Don't ever just listen to a speech, especially one as carefully timed and crafted as this one.
Yep. The Rise of Angelic Rule.
Oh, Tom Horn. You've got to read that. He's got a series at Watcher Magazine that you really should read.
Absolutely.
Tom, we need that next installment.
We welcome your comments either by email. Sharon gave you her email. Or you can send it Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at peeringintodarkness.com. Radio at peeringintodarkness.com gets to both of us.
It does.
And, of course, the forum is always open, peeringintodarkness.com/forum.
That place. What a great place to hang out. Well, you know what? And here's another thing. Today, Condi Rice said to the Fox people, oh, there's my Fox guys.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
She's having a rough time.
She is. Look for Condi Rice to be replaced.
Yeah, the move of Negroponte over to state is significant.
Once again, folks, the stock market's going to crash. It really is. I honestly think it's coming this year, so watch where you put your money. That's all for now.
We've got more tomorrow. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Radio.